Welcome to the Sermon Podcast from Beaver Parish Church.
This reading is from Jesus' discussion with his disciples on the night of the Last Supper. So the night before he died, he was talking to his disciples, and these words are recorded from around that dinner table. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I'm going away and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me, but the world must learn that I love the Father and that I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come now, let us leave." We'll come back to some of those words. They're about Jesus telling his disciples about what would happen after he is gone, because they were filled with fear and anxiety about, they knew that there was something of what Jesus had been doing with them that they were supposed to carry on in his place and on his behalf, and not just carry on, but to spread it to other people. And they were obviously anxious, being very conscious of their humanity or their humanness, their weakness, their frailty, all those sorts of things. How are we ever going to carry this message of Jesus with us? And he starts to speak to them about the gift of the Holy Spirit, the one who would come and reside in them. So that leads us in this wee series about what it means to be a follower of Jesus, or to be with Jesus on an ordinary day. And the question today is, does God lead ordinary people on ordinary days? Or does God only lead the superheroes? Yeah, the people who start churches in far corners of the earth, the people who go off to do amazing things under persecution in difficult parts of the world. The people who give up their job and decide that they're going to live by faith and just live on donations of money given to them or whatever. Does God only lead those sorts of people? Or when Jesus is speaking about this gift of the Holy Spirit to his disciples, is he speaking to all of us? Just the plain, ordinary people sitting in the pews, going about our business, rushing to get here and thinking, will I get up earlier next week and come for breakfast? All those sorts of ordinary things that we have to get through. So does God lead ordinary people on ordinary days? Well, it happened to ordinary people in the Bible. Mary and Joseph couldn't have been more ordinary. Now, we think, oh, but they're so extraordinary. Well, they're only extraordinary afterwards. Yeah, after hearing God leading them. Until God was leading them, Mary was probably just a teenager, walking up and down the streets of Nazareth, doing the shopping and helping with her family and playing with her friends and going out and standing on the street corner at night to watch the boys walking past or whatever. All the things that teenagers do. Joseph was the guy you got in to fix and repair things in your house. Completely ordinary people. Anna and Simeon were the other two jumped into my mind, who were in the temple courts when the baby Jesus was brought, and we know nothing about them except that that was a place that they went to regularly. They were certainly Anna was very elderly, but we know there's nothing special about either of them, except that they sensed God leading them at a moment, they leading them towards this baby. And they say some things and then disappear again, never to be heard of ever again, at least not as far as we're concerned. Very ordinary people, but yet God is able to lead them. Ordinary people around us still say that it happens. And I'm sure you've been to meetings where somebody is telling a story or giving a testimony of how God has spoken to them or told them to do something. But yet again, it tends to sound like they aren't very ordinary, because it's always something really quite dramatic. So let me tell you a story of something very ordinary that happened to us. And it was on a Sunday evening that this happened. We had got our car MOT'd on the Saturday morning. This was way back when the children were very tiny. And we had one car in the family. And it had failed its MOT, but it had failed its MOT on a whole range of things. Now, it was quite an elderly car. It has to be said, it was a Volvo, and you know, they do go on for a long time. And this one had been going on for a long time. And it was at the end. And this was now Sunday. And we knew that the school run was on Monday morning. And we shouldn't be taking the children out in a car that had been declared unfit for use. So what we were going to do is a wee bit of a panic, and we didn't really have a whole load of extra money to think, let's go and buy another car. Somebody knocked the door on Sunday evening, a friend of ours from church, who said, we've been thinking about changing our car, and we're going to pick up our new car tomorrow. And we just thought, you know, rather than trading in the old car, why don't we just pray and see if there's anybody we should give it to? And we said, at tea time there, we were praying, and we thought of you as a family. And we said, we're really embarrassed because we know you've got that lovely Volvo sitting in the drive. And I thought, can you tow it away? I said, yeah, we have that lovely Volvo, but yes, it's not working actually at the minute. And they said, well, that's amazing. He said, because I have a Volvo we'd like to give you. And it's sitting outside. And sure enough, it was the next model up. Yeah. And walked away, gave us the keys. He said, my wife's parked around the corner because we weren't sure whether you'd want to take it or not. So I'll just go home, and here's the car, and here's the tax book and all that. You can have it. A very ordinary person, not starting a mission agency, not going off to some far corner of the world, but having the wit to stop and think, would God want us to do something here? And just praying a simple prayer and following the idea that seemed to come into their heads. The Bible is also full of Bible verses about God leading us. Psalm 32 verse 8 is one of the clearest. I will teach you and instruct you in the way you should go. And I think this was written by David and written when he was a shepherd, not when he was king. All right, so this is a very ordinary person who's writing down words that he thinks come from God. I will teach you and instruct you the way you should go. In answer to the question, does God lead ordinary people on ordinary days? I think the answer has to be yes. Well, yes, insofar as ordinary people on ordinary days want to be led, all right, because he isn't going to drag us around. But the possibility that he could lead ordinary people on ordinary days has to be a yes. Now, on to the second question. How does God lead ordinary people? Now, that's a photograph of the dashboard of my car, the present car, which is a Lexus, right? Yeah. I'm not in those Alfa Romeos anymore. I've fallen out with those because they always break down. And it did. And the guy who was fixing it or couldn't fix it sold me a Lexus instead. And that's the dashboard. There's a screen. It's one of those sorts of cars. And that is the way the engine works. And if, I don't know if you can see it on that picture, but the engine, there is a petrol engine, but there's always also an electric motor. And all four wheels can be driven by either the petrol or by the electric. And as you drive along, this is what happens when you drive along, and the first few days when you're driving this car, you keep crashing because you keep watching the screen, because this is what happens. See the wee coloured arrows changing colour? That's power going from petrol to battery, from battery to wheels, from petrol to wheels, from, and then we'll see in a wee minute the back wheels, which are just being dragged along at the minute. When the battery reaches a certain point of lack of charge, the wheels that you're dragging along start to charge the battery. Keep watching, keep watching. Look at that, hey? Suddenly the back wheels start charging the battery. You never plug this car in. In fact, you never go to a petrol station. You just drive forever. It's complete. No, I'm lying now. Is that okay? Right? You wouldn't believe how much petrol has. Sorry. Janice is in Sunday club this morning, so you wouldn't believe how much petrol you got to pour into this car. But anyway, that's how it works. And as you're driving along, you can't tell whether you're on battery or petrol. The two things are working in sync with one another. As you come to a big hill, the petrol kicks in. When you go down the other side, if you're... So I didn't film that, by the way, in case you're thinking he's filming while he's driving. I got that off YouTube. But that's what it actually looks like when you're driving along. This interaction between petrol and electric all the time, switching back from one to the other. Now, that is my illustration for what it's like for you and me, how we are led by God. Going back to those verses that Jesus said to his disciples, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world can't accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Right? When we open our lives to Jesus, to God, and sing Jesus All for Jesus and mean it, or put our hand up at the end of an evangelistic meeting, or respond to an altar call, or whatever we've done, we've grown up, and at our confirmation we put our faith or opened our hearts, whatever our words are that we've described, the sort of interaction between us and God is that he sends the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. And therefore, the human life is this interaction, this interwovenness all the time between what the Bible would describe as the flesh. Sometimes that means sinful, bad things, but on a lot of occasions it just means the human condition, the human being, the flesh and the spirit, interwoven together, interacting together, working in partnership together to create a life that is like Christ. And that's what a Christian is supposed to be. Someone who is being shaped and formed into the likeness of Christ by this electric motor and petrol motor working together to produce the best possible way forwards. And that's what I think is happening in us. And we think, oh, how am I meant to know what that's like? Because the Holy Spirit is quite mysterious to us and quite unknown at times. And we panic a wee bit about what might that mean. So could I just say that if you count yourself a follower of Jesus, and I'm guessing that's why you're here, why you want to be here, that this interaction, this relationship is going on with inside of us. And maybe part of what we're trying to do today is to help us to become a wee bit more aware of it. So on to the third question. Where would I expect to see God leading me? Oh, I haven't put the words up there. Sorry, there's a Bible verse. It's Ephesians 4. Maybe it's Ephesians 2, verse 10, I'm thinking. I should have had that on the screen. And it says that we are God's masterpiece. We are God's handicraft. We are God's workmanship. But contained within what that word workmanship or craftsmanship or masterpiece might be includes the idea of painting a picture. And it's like God is trying to paint a picture. And it's us together. It's the church of God that he's trying to create. But it's also the individuals, people like you and me. And he's painting, and as you can see from the picture, it's a process of trying to paint something beautiful out of our lives. And as you can see from that wee picture, I would like to suggest to you that the places that we see God's leading, or we should start to be trying to be conscious of God leading us on ordinary days, are in those things, just like the wee hand, the wee child is painting the picture. It's in our heads, how we think, what we think about our world, what we think about other people. He should be leading us, guiding us, changing our thinking, so I'm not so bitter. I'm no longer sectarian. I'm no longer thinking selfishly all the time. Beginning to wonder, how did I change in that? Why did that become different? In our mouths, the words that we're speaking, we've spoken about that before, are they becoming encouraging, uplifting, upbuilding words, rather than the words of criticism and gossip? Is he Is he changing things in us, our ears, what we're prepared to listen to, how we hear things? Do we hear through things these days that we hear on TV and from other places? Do we stop and think, I don't think that could be quite the way they're explaining that? Our heart, attitudes, the deep things inside of our soul and our spirit about how we relate to people. Our hands, the things we do, our actions, our lifestyles, how we engage in work, how we engage in social activity, all those things, relationships, we'll call that hands, the things we touch with our lives. And lastly, our feet. What's the direction of travel for our lives? Is it towards God? Is it into the things of God? Is it into the things of the kingdom of God, bringing hope and life into our world, rather than pursuing the selfish things and the things that are just for me? So if, in answer to the question, where would I expect to see God's leading? So if you wanted to stop this week and think, Lord, I would like to see more of that happening in my life. So Lord, would you help me today with what I'm thinking or with what I'm going to say? Or that meeting that I'm going to, help me in my heart to react well to people. Those things. And see, as we work our way through life, do we start to think slightly differently and start to find other words and ways of being? So, final question. How will I learn to follow God's leadings? Surely it can't be just as easy as praying a prayer and then walking out into the world completely transformed. And I have to say, no, you won't be completely transformed immediately, but we should expect to see that some things will begin to change in us as we ask God, intentionally ask God to help us. But there's one of the ways that we will experience God's leadings. That's the Lexus Owner's Manual. And it was in that big book. It's in the glove box of the car. It was in that big book. When that picture came up on the screen the first time and I looked at it, I thought, I've no idea what that's about. I got out the owner's manual and sure, there it was explained. And then you put the owner's manual away. Nobody ever reads the whole owner's manual, do you, in a car or anything else? But when something goes wrong, you get it out and look up, what's that wee red light that looks like an oil can? Yeah, and you think it says, stop the car immediately. You begin to learn things by just poking into the book. So could I say that this book is exactly like that? Yeah. And at times we look at it and think, I could never read all of that. I could never understand all of that. Or barely even know where to start with all of that. Well, could I say I'm exactly the same with that manual? But every time I find myself having to look in it to find something out, I end up understanding my car better. But I don't need to read it all. I don't need to understand it all. But every time I look in the manual, I find something that helps me. So if there are all sorts of Bible reading notes, they're in the foyers, they're helpful things that give you thoughts and help with understanding bits of the Bible. If you don't want to do that and you've never really thought of reading the Bible, could I suggest Mark? It's a wee small word, it's quite a small book. And it will tell you all sorts of things about Jesus. And right from the word go, you will be engaged in things that make sense. And you can poke around in the Bible and look for other things. And you can join in with other places and people who are talking about it and trying to understand it. And in all sorts of ways, we begin to understand how God wants to change the head, and the mouth, and the ears, and the hands, and the heart, and the feet. And we start to experience God's leadings in all sorts of ways. The other thing is, sometimes, you know, when we feel God saying something to us, like, and sorry, this isn't putting pressure on you this morning, but Chris was sitting, that was got up here and talked a wee bit about the men's, about the, not the, the, sorry, the men's night out was Catherine. And that does just as well. You heard her talking about that. You heard Chris talking about people who can be on teams to help with breakfast or something. And you're maybe sitting there thinking, I wonder. Sometimes you need to turn a I wonder into just do it. Right? The Nike advert. Why not just do it and see? There is a wee bit about needing to give it a go and saying, you know, I've thought for ages about helping with that, or I've thought for ages about calling in with that neighbour, or I've thought for ages about giving some money to something. Why not just do it? Give it a go and see if it feels like that was God leading me. And then the last thought, how did I learn to follow God's leadings? Yeah. That will go on forever. And you know, there's something of great truth in that. No matter how many times we've tried in the past, no matter how many times we maybe think we've failed, there's no way around it. We have to just try again. Go on, go on, go on, go on, go on. Or you will, yeah, whatever way you want to see it. Right. The Lord says, I will teach you the way you should go. I will instruct you and advise you. Why on earth would he be lying?
Thank you for listening. To hear previous weeks and for more information, go to beaverparish.co.uk/sermons.